Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, a Tuesday in KC. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running, and if you're watching on the video stream here in a second, you're going to see that our guy Nate Taylor is getting set up. He's going to talk some football with us, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. He, of course, will be at the game on Sunday evening for Sunday Night Football, the I guess third to last home game of the year. They still got the Chargers and then the Broncos. Christmas night game against the Denver Broncos, and I hope all three of these, certainly this one, I hope those other two mean just as much as this one on Sunday night.
Sick of the holidays. Sick of the Chiefs playing on the holidays.
I'm done with it.
Maybe it's because they keep losing on them.
Well, I know. I said I'm spoiled, and I acknowledge that. I said I just think it puts people in a bad mood on the holiday. The team loses, and the rest of the family, everybody's like, whatever. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. And I'm just telling you off of experience. That's what's happened, at least with my family, the last couple of these. That's all.
So, you know? I just like having holidays to be holidays. That's all. Nate, how about you?
No.
To be there for Thanksgiving, Christmas.
I'm sorry, Alex. You weren't fired up for Bengals Ravens after that performance on Thursday. I've gotten used to it. So it is what it is now. We are in the Patrick Mahomes era, which means they're going to put him on everything. I mean, I was the one who reported at the league's owners meetings in March that the Chiefs, you know, not so quietly requested, hey, why don't we be the Christmas version of the NFL, where we're on Christmas every day, or every year, I should say. And guess what, kids? They've been on Christmas now going this season 3 straight years. So I don't know if it'll become the tradition like it is on Cowboys Lions Thanksgiving Day. Well,
it's going to be frequently.
But, you know, it's going to be frequently. I was someone, and this tells you how bad the Raiders are, I was someone who always was, like, I think, a little bit more in favor of the NFL saying Black Friday was going to be Raiders. Every year, Raiders are going to be on Black Friday with Amazon.
Makes kind of sense.
Yeah. Now, Amazon went differently this year. They went with Bears-Eagles, which is actually the best holiday game of the weekend slate. But, you know, I'm used to it now. It's amazing that, again, I got the schedule earlier than, you know, the public saw it or whatever, and was pumped to, be in AT&T Stadium for Thanksgiving Day, and was extremely, like, thank the Lord that I get to have Christmas in my own house.
Yeah.
Christmas morning before quote unquote, daddy has to go to work, son. Sorry. Yeah. That whole ordeal.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is just like, obviously you get used to it. And there's lots of people. Some of it is just like, I feel bad for anybody. There's so many people in Kansas City have to work every holiday now.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's changed. It's changed so much.
Yeah, exactly.
We were talking earlier, Nate, we can get into the Texans game in a bit, but Josh Simmons, the unfortunate injury now with the dislocated wrist, fractured wrist. How do you view his rookie year? It's very complicated, right? Because he's going to end up playing probably only 8 games now, it looks like, barring something surprising. You can tell me if we're wrong. We assume he's done for the year, but maybe you can tell me otherwise.
As Andy Reid said, second opinion.
Okay. All right. So he's...
Shut it. You know, as I've gotten older, as I've gotten more informed about injuries, as obviously I've covered the league now for almost a decade... Nah.
Let's say that's the case. Let's say he's played his final game of his rookie season. If I would have told you on draft night he only played 8 games, you would have said, oh, okay, so the knee's not ready, and then midseason he takes over for Jalen Moore. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But because it's happened in this order, the random absence, obviously, for a month or so, I don't think he's injury prone, and I'm not worried about the wrist long term.
And the wrist is not his fault, by the way.
Oh, for sure. And the knee has not been a problem all year, so that's fully healed. Without knowing the personal matter, it's obviously hard to answer this, but like we were having a discussion, like, are you worried about the long term future left tackle? And I said, I still feel way better about it than I did at this point last year.
Yes, and I think to your point, Alex, everyone should feel the way you feel. If it is indeed 8-9 games, if we just want to give him an extra one.
Sure.
It's still a massive success because it was a success on draft night. It was a success on the opening day of training camp. It was a massive success on opening night, even though the Chiefs lost to the Chargers in Sao Paulo. And it's a football. I mean, this is football, ladies and gentlemen. Like, unfortunately, guys are going to get hurt. We'd all love for everybody to be healthy, but that's what you've signed up for. That's the nature of the sport itself. So it is not Josh Simmons' fault that Kareem Hunt put maybe a little bit of extra sauce on the chip block. I know we got into discussions about that last year when they didn't have a suitable left tackle. Hey, why aren't they chip helping? Well, this is, and I know Mitchell Schwartz has been public about this. This is one of the reasons why tackles don't always prefer chip help, because either the defender might not go where you want him to go for a chip, and the, you know, based on your pass set, the running back's landmark, how much is he going to, you know, really chip versus like give the appearance of a chip versus like, you know, the level of contact. Well, yeah, that can be an issue with your landing, with your feet work, or excuse me, with your footwork, with your hand placement. And this is where it becomes an issue where Kareem Hunt, he got all of it out of the chip block that he wanted to get out of it. And unfortunately, based on the hand placement and what, Josh Simmons was trying to do to the edge rusher, his left wrist is exposed. And that's why, again, it's just one of those freak friendly fire injuries. And I know people are saying
that a couple times.
Again? Yeah. Again? And it's like, yeah, man. So what if I told you that the greatest quarterback we've ever seen just took out his leading receiver in the first month of the season last year? Then your dynamic second-year receiver was taken out for essentially a month by your Hall of Fame tight end, and now you have, you know, your most veteran experienced running back, doing the best he can to help protect the quarterback, and then, you know, inadvertently injures the left tackle, likely for the rest of the season. I think what this tells us is Josh Simmons doesn't want to give up on the year. Because not only did he come back, but he came back and played excellent, ladies and gentlemen. He has never been really the problem. I know he got called for a couple holding penalties on Thursday. That's a league matter, because
one of those, he just whipped.
I don't think either one of them is really a hold. I mean, defensive ends have gotten really good about, like, when I go across your arm, and if I don't have proper leverage, act like I'm swimming. And see if I can get the holding call. So, like, you know, that happens. I get it. I don't love either one of them, much like I know Chiefs fans don't love the defensive pass interference penalties in Thursday's game. But he was going to be and is going to be still their best player from this draft class, which has unfortunately had a underwhelming year as rookies. And now I think for him, if he is done indeed for the season, which I think is likely trending in that direction – now you know what it's like to be a professional. Now you come back and you're fully prepared. You're not rehabbing entirely. You're not going through the whole draft process. Hopefully you get the procedure done. Hopefully it goes well. You'll have plenty of time for that wrist to hopefully heal up and get strong again. You'll get back to being, you know, just a normal football player. You know, we know his family situation was a little bit hectic in October. So hopefully, you know, you've got that situated and hopefully that becomes a, you know, just a normal part of your routine now. Again, going from semi-professional in college to like full-fledged professional, you've got all these things, all these responsibilities that you have to take care of, and they come at you in waves. And now you go into year two, and we've seen this so many times. When a player is already this good as a rookie, they know exactly how to get better. They know exactly how they can use their skill set to fit the system that you're being put in place. So the system's not going to change, we don't think, obviously, with the offensive playbook and the offensive system. And now you have a much better connection with the quarterback. You know what the quarterback likes. You know what you like. You've seen a variety of defensive ends now, so it's no longer a guessing game. And I thought that was always going to be the issue with Kingsley Suamataia, that he did not get enough playing time last year to where he could really figure out where he needed to improve and how he fit into the overall scheme. So it's a great year despite the injuries, despite the absence, because he's already just, you know, purely when you like through the just eye test, he's already an all-pro player in the league.
When you look at what they're at now, we understand because of the loss to the Cowboys, they pretty much got to win out. There's a scenario in which they lose one game and the Colts lose enough games that maybe they could be a seven seeded with a tie break, but that's kind of like wishful thinking in my mind. What differences, if any, do you expect to see in the last five games? Andy was asked about the offense and had this to say.
We're going to try to tickle your tonsils.
Oh, my boy. Dog, when I heard that, I said...
Oh, you knew we were going to play that another 100 times.
Yeah, I know. And what a last-ditch effort to make people smile and laugh. And look,
worked.
He is Kansas City's beloved grandpa half the time. The other half, he's a Hall of Fame head coach. I understand what he's trying to get at. I can't rock with it. You know, it's so funny. It's like, well, now you're wanting to say this. And yes, it's a great soundbite.
We're going to try to tickle your tonsils.
Hell yeah. Oh,
the underrated one from yesterday too, is we do have stats. That one, I like that one.
We do have stats.
Well, here's the thing. And I'm going to go a little bit inside my own psyche. I chose not to participate in this nonsense yesterday because there was going to be no news. He wasn't going to tell you anything like earth shattering. I knew that there wasn't going to be really an update on the injury front because of the players getting the time off, which he said. So, hey, I'm here just so I don't get fined. I don't really have to ask this man a question. They have not, like, y'all played on Thursday. What new can I ask you? Now, what's hilarious is, he got bored with his own masterclass, and he said, what can I cook up for people? To which he said, what? And then I said, okay, do you ask that question? Like, how do you present that in another setting? More appropriate. Is it the second drink at the bar? Is it the third drink? Is it the drive to the house? Like, well, coach, what? Now, it's one thing to say, all right, it's just like we all been in that situation. I done got her fired up, or I've said something that has interest him. Now you got to show it. I don't want to hear you tickling my tonsils, and my tonsils ain't going to be tickled on Sunday now, okay?
Show us something.
You got to show me something, all right? Hey, you bought all the drinks. You said all the nice things. You said I smelled good. You know, I'm convinced. Now I got to see. I got to see it. So here's my tonsil, I guess. Go ahead and tickle it. Just what are we doing, okay, coach?
You just gave us another drop. Thank you.
Of course I did. This is why I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, because – even the Hall of Fame coach who knows for the next 15 minutes, I got to be as boring and about as just like vanilla and just like mundane and like, I'm not giving you anything. Stop asking me about that. Guys, we're just a player or two away. Even he was just like, all right, this is getting boring. Let me give him something. And that's the card you pull out of your deck? Coach. So does that mean more under center runs? Does that mean more? That means a more effective pass rush, coach. What does that mean? Like, you know what? I wasn't going to ask the question.
You should have hit that button on the Zoom call. On the Zoom call, Nate. On the Zoom call, you should have clicked that. Like, coach, follow up question.
What
exactly do you mean offensively about tickling your tonsils?
Coach, he threw for 4 touchdowns on Thursday. What else do you want him to do? I hope everybody enjoys the absurdity that is our jobs.
Oh yeah, especially in days like that.
Uh huh. When again he knows he has nothing to say to us, he knows I'm just doing this so I fulfill my obligation. You fulfill your obligations. We all said we worked today, right? We all worked today, but beforehand, I mean, how in the world are they? How are you gonna tickle a tonsil if I don't know who your left tackle is, coach? And it better not be Wanya Morris. We're not tickling anybody's tonsils doing that. If there's no Josh Simmons. I want to make it clear, ladies and gentlemen, it should be Jalen Moore at left tackle. Mm-hmm. Then you would put Wanya Morris at right tackle. Now, philosophically, they don't like saying, hey, we put you in at this spot already because of Juwan Taylor's elbow injury.
You think he's playing?
I would. Honestly, man, it's a contract year, dog. Just, it's not. No, stop.
No, really?
Stop. They had to put a contraption on his arm post-game. Now, it wasn't a cast, and it wasn't like...
Is it an elbow or tricep?
It's both.
It's both.
It's
okay.
Both.
Yeah, because...
Like, the team doesn't... The team can't necessarily say, like, oh, it's an elbow, and be like, psych! No, it wasn't. Like, no.
Gotcha.
It's... He had a contraption on his... He had a medical contraption on his... What was it? His left arm, I believe? I think it was his left arm. I got to double-check my notes. Again, it's been Thursday, guys, so it's been a while. But he had a contraption on his arm, and you kind of need your tricep. I don't know how much treatment you can get. You kind of need your tricep to prevent a guy from hitting your quarterback. And this injury popped up at the end of the second quarter. I believe during that little 2-minute drive that did not go anywhere. And then they looked at it in the locker room and said, not great. Now, yes, he gets the 10 days. We'll see if he can participate. But I don't know if you want, at this stage in the season, because we already know he's been banged up with the knee. We already know he's now got another injury. Even though you are the starting player and your starting caliber talent, will you be actually a negative if you're compromised on a number of fronts versus having just a guy who's healthy who can get all of the reps leading into the game, which I think will be an important distinction as to what the coaching staff and the medical staff wants to do. Like, you only get 3 practices. You only get so many reps. And I know people were upset with Wanya Morris and the way he played in the fourth quarter. Let me remind you guys, they had 1 practice between the Colts game and the Cowboys game. How many reps do you think Wanya Morris got? Let me tell you, it was zilch, okay?
Yeah, none.
So if he's going to play, if he has the potential to play on Sunday Night Football in a must-win, essentially a playoff game scenario for this team, you can't be really splitting reps right now because you got to get somebody ready to play in the event that they're going to be healthy, they're going to be available, and they're going to be hopefully at their top capabilities. I know Juwan's going to try, but I don't know how smart it is considering that he's not even going to be on the team next season, considering his contract and what we know about, Jalen Moore having the 2-year plan involved.
What did you make of them bringing in some just random workout stuff today? Didn't they have an open workout for like some offensive linemen and kick returners? Is this just the special team stinks and we're going to find somebody who can do better? Well, the special teams are the worst unit on the field.
It's
defense has had their problem. Offense has had their problem. But the special teams unit has been bad all year.
You have done this in Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, the reason.
I saw they had some work. It's like an open workout.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean, you're always working. You know, hey, make a call or two. You have the extra time, which I think is a difference, too, of, hey, we played on Thursday. We can look around, survey the league, make some phone calls. That's all fine and dandy. But, guys, y'all could have made. You had the trade deadline. You had all of November. Maybe adding somebody will shake this up. But, I mean, they're in a dire situation, which is more than what Andy Reid wants to show at this point in time, which, again, I understand because you're the head coach. You're trying to get guys focused on this one important game. But in all likelihood, guys, the season's essentially over unless – a number of things go in their favor, which has not happened through 12 weeks. So who is your best 5 for this game. Is Trey Smith coming back? That would be a huge swing in the Chiefs' favor if you know, based on high and low ankle sprain, Trey Smith could be available to play in this game because Mike Caliendo, when he is asked to pass block in non-ideal circumstances, is not your best option at the left guard position or the right guard position. So much of this week comes down to who is protecting Patrick Mahomes. The sooner they get the answers on those, the better chance they have of winning. What they do with the special teams, I mean.
But it's a margins game. One or two plays. Andy's not wrong when he says that, Nate. But that's the problem.
No,
with...
I think he is wrong. I honestly think he is wrong. And, you know, it's hard to be like, I disagree with the Hall of Fame coach because that's.
He's not always right. He's right a lot.
He is right a lot. And again, what they've built over the last 7-8 years has been unprecedented in a lot of ways. But he's wrong about this. They don't concentrate for 60 minutes. Therefore, it isn't one or two plays.
Sure.
Hey, man, they run in slants all day. You going to change it?
George Pickett just shove him right on the press. Had him like 3 times in a row. I'm like, hey, man, he's going to probably push off and go to the middle.
Yeah. I mean, again, if they know you're blitzing, you're going to cover the slant? You're going to adjust? Hey. We've seen Tremari Connor in the slant. How many times? What are we doing? Holding penalties, which again, you can disagree with or not. Offensive pass interference, which again, you could agree or not. Hey, Patrick doesn't feel comfortable, therefore he's holding on to the ball too long. All right, that leads to a loss of down. Hey, Rashee Rice just drops a ball. Completely catchable in the middle of the field on third down. So you got a punt. Hey, by the way, I mean, look, I know Nick Bolton's not a tight end, but it's in your hands, dog. This happened multiple times this season where you have a chance to create a game-changing play. Hey, McDuffie's been getting cooked all day, guys. Hey, but you know what? Kept fighting. There's the ball. It's on the ground. Somebody go get it. It's 4 versus 1. Guys, I just named 8 plays.
Yeah.
It's not 1 or 2. He's lying.
Is it they're tired? We asked this, and you're like, have we just underplayed the idea that playing in 3 Super Bowls in a row?
Oh, it's exhausting.
They're just spent.
But here's the problem with that too. Your quarterback has never played better.
He's playing great.
He's playing amazing. He's doing miracles at times with, again, Wanya Morris as his left tackle and Jalen Morris as right tackle and Mike Caliendo as his right guard. I mean, come on. With no suitable running game because y'all actively chose to not run the ball when the game was still within balance in the fourth quarter before Dallas takes a 10-point lead, to which virtually I understand, but at that point, you got to play from behind. You got to play catch up. You got to sort of get in an up-tempo, pass-happy offense. I mean, yes, Kareem Hunt, tired. I think the player...
That man's running every last ounce of energy he got left in his body. I give him a lot of credit. Oh, he's giving it all.
He's giving it all. He's fantastic. But yeah, to your point, like, of course he's exhausted. You know, I think there's been some slippers with Creed Humphrey this year that no one wants to talk about, which is fine. Because, again, he's still above average at his position. I think
everything around him's also changed. Correct. Time too, so I don't
correct.
Know,
but... you know, Charles Omenihu.
He no-showed this season.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Chris Jones, I mean, one of the more sad parts of the season was Sunday's post-game locker room where Chris Jones had nothing left. And that was, if you care enough, ladies and gentlemen, you can go back and you can watch his post-game comments. He even said in his, he has nothing left to say. What else can I do? Now, he's 31, 2 games in 5 days, utterly exhausted, cannot get the same level of pressure that he did against Daniel Jones. And look, the Cowboys prepared effectively. Hey, if Nick Bolton's playing a lot of football, which he has, I don't know, maybe he comes up with one of those 2 interceptions. Maybe guys aren't running into each other, right? Maybe he's
– sure.
Maybe Tremari Connor doesn't have so many – I think the thing about – Tremari Connor that I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Highs and lows. He does some things well.
He does. He's a good player, but they're asking too much of him, and he's not talented enough to take on all that responsibility. So you're also mentally and physically sort of asking him to do too much, which is why if you notice on the touchdown where they're in perfect zone coverage, obviously the pass rush doesn't get there, Chris Jones is forcing Dak Prescott to go to his right. And you're in zone. Just stay in your area. And for whatever reason, Tremari Connor's like, I got to make a play. Totally vacates his zone. Dak immediately goes, oh, well, there's an easy touchdown right there. And it's Chris Jones who, if you look on the All-22, goes, where are you going? What are you doing? I'm chasing. I've already got the quarterback.
Your job's not to get Dak.
Yes.
Your job is stay in your man.
Yes, stay in your zone. Like, we have the zone covered. We have the right play call. And again, they asked Tremari Connor to be the safety on the safety blitz on the last Cowboys drive. Totally whiffs in the middle of the backfield. Yeah. Could have been a 2-yard loss. It ends up being a major chunk gain, and all of a sudden Dallas has every play available in his playbook on third and short to get the first down to end the game. So they're asking too much of Tremari Connor, which goes to physical, mental, the same way. You know, they don't play Jaden Hicks enough, which is coach's decision. Where's Noah Williams? Who the heck knows?
He should also play more, yeah.
Correct. I mean, Ashton Gelati should play more. I can say anybody on defense that's a rookie should play more based on what the data has presented to you over 12 games. But, yeah, there's got to be some mental exhaustion to him. But the funny part about this is the greats have continued to be great. Travis Kelce's been excellent this season after week 3. Those first 2 weeks, I think he was still trying to understand where he was, what he could do with his body.
And then they forcibly changed their entire offense because they had a plan, and then that plan went to shreds.
Correct. With the moment he took out Xavier Worthy for the first month of the season, which, again, his own problem, you know, based on his own route to start the season. But, again, since week 3, if you look at the numbers, he's been arguably the third or second best tight end. He has a chance to be considered yet another all-pro season at age 36. And Mahomes, to his credit, has made one mistake all year that has been catastrophic, and that was the pick six in Jacksonville.
We got Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, hanging out with us. I want to talk about the Texans more. Also, some comments from Tyrann Mathieu that got us into a deeper discussion just about the attitude of this defense a little bit. We'll do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we got Nate Taylor hanging out with us, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. I want to get to what Tyrann Mathieu had to say for a second, and then we can get to the Texans and this matchup, which with the offensive line problems seems like the worst possible week to have this coming on Sunday night. But Tyrann Mathieu was in Kansas City, and as you know, I don't have to tell you, he spends a lot of time still in Kansas City.
Oh, sure.
He's got property here, et cetera. Kids play on soccer teams here, all that.
Yep.
And he was in town with FanDuel, their launch for sports wagering yesterday. He was on Kay Adams' show, and he said a few different things, and the fun part that got traction was this cut, at least.
Can you come back?
I mean, I'm like not going to say no. I won't say no.
Are we walking down to Brett's office after this? I'm not kidding.
I mean,
are you going to go visit them today? Yes.
Yeah, probably. Mm. And I've stayed in contact with, you know, obviously Brett and, you know, but mostly, you know, Coach Reed. His grandson actually plays on the football team with
my son. I know.
So, you know, it's the family.
So that got traction. Look, he's not coming back. I'm not suggesting that he's not going to sign with the Chiefs here all of a sudden. But I was talking with Cody, and we were both agreeing, like, attitude-wise, though, they could use somebody like him, like, that has the attitude, and I'm going to punch you in the mouth kind of thing.
They need a sneeze. They need a dog, Nate. They don't have, like, a dude who just wants to, like, kick your ass just to do it.
They don't even have a Willie Gay, you could say, like, in terms of just having high energy.
The good days when Swag Surf was playing on Arrowhead.
Just fun-loving. You know? Keep the guys fresh. Keep the guys, like, you know, engaged.
Sorensen, I like football. I'm here for football. I run around. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, you want to sign him to a futures contract? Hey, let's give you a full offseason. Let's really see it.
Like, well, I'd have no issue with that.
Let's have some good PR. Like, you want to come back? Hey.
He's also basically a coach at this point, too.
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, see, now you on it, Mr. Gold. Look.
How would you like to work the defensive back meeting a little bit?
And this is not to say, like, Dave Merritt can't coach. Obviously, we know he can coach. But, like, hey, man, get these boys right, you know? Like, take them out to dinner, man. Give them to see the bigger picture.
You tell them what it's like to actually be a pro in this league.
Come on, man. Like their leader in the secondary is essentially like Mike Edwards.
I was going to ask you, who do you think that guy is on this team?
It's Mike Edwards.
It can't be Mike Edwards. He barely plays.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's him.
This is like the Royals problem.
Because Trent
McDuffie
technically is their leader.
He doesn't strike me as the vocal guy, though.
Correct. He is a tactician. Guys, Trent McDuffie's still playing at an all-pro level. It's just he got God for one game.
CeeDee Lamb is
damn
good.
And it just happened to be on Thanksgiving in a contract year. Yikes! But otherwise, he's been excellent. You know, he hadn't given up over 50 yards in an entire game this season until Thanksgiving on the National.
In fairness, I thought at least one of those PI calls was
for
soft.
Sure. One of those is soft. He's trying his best to, like, stay engaged.
That 3rd-and-8 one, like, at the sticks, that one was
terrible.
Like, what do you mean? That just looked like two guys playing football.
Yes, terrible. but honestly, like, it's him and Brian Cook. And Brian Cook is, I mean, he was always, I felt like, the appropriate Robin to Justin Reed's Batman, where the two of them worked so well that I think people, because they couldn't see it, right? Because it's all pre-snap and it's audibles and it's making open field tackles, which again is not necessarily sexy, like intercepting the ball, but like
you need guys like that.
Those two guys were like really good as a tandem. I think now that we're seeing it with them in separate places and separate parts of their careers now. But they don't have like the Snead, the Justin Reed, the obviously Tyrann Mathieu. They don't have the Eric Berry. Like I can list a number of guys.
They had those guys.
Yeah, this particular group is not clear cut. And I don't think you're asking that from Nick Bolton. I think you're asking mostly consistency and like to be telepathically in sync with Steve Spagnuolo. That's what you're asking from Nick Bolton. Tackle, be in sync with Steve Spagnuolo in terms of the blitz scheme and the pregame, you know, the in-game adjustments and all that stuff. But like, you're not asking. I mean, Nick Bolton is not Ray Lewis.
No,
right.
People are always they're always like looking for the miracle tonic guy on the side, selling the elixir to fix all the problems. 20 texts today asking if the Chiefs would call Christian Wilkins, and I'm like, I think if they would have called him, they'd have called him by now.
Yeah, you would have called him by now. It's too
and it, nobody has.
And it's,
right?
I think it's too late. And I think for him, Christian Wilkinson, like. I would tell him, let's just pivot to like next season, right? You're still like relatively young in your career. Nothing's really gonna change. You know, you're not the first guy that's like had a season where he basically went on sabbatical or something like that, or like, hey, you could almost consider like a season-ending injury, even though that injury was more tied to last year and you maybe not rehabbing appropriately. You know, so yeah, I mean that you can't.
The fact that nobody else, though, called him either, that would just concern me.
Once you get to December, I'm always a little bit leery of that, too. Once you get to December, because I want people to remember, not an apples-to-apples cases, but I will double-check when the Chiefs officially signed DJ Humphries last year, because that was about the last, that was late November.
Man, they were desperate.
His first game was that Sunday night game against the Chargers, right?
Yes. So I think technically they agreed to the deal on November, November 22nd, November 23rd.
It was definitely November.
Yeah, so it was, it's basically like around
22nd.
Yeah, it was basically around Thanksgiving, right? And then you got to go and go through the practice squad and I don't know, maybe they signed him to the active roster based on the injuries they injuries they had last year.
He pretty much caught up in a week.
Yeah. So the, and again, they had, bring him up to speed. Like, hey, see what you do at practice. Da 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 da. That's about, for a veteran guy, that's really like the cutoff line, because once you get to December, you're only have 2, 3, maybe 4 games unless you know for sure, like maybe the Chiefs were last year, that we're definitely going to be in the playoffs and we have a chance to maybe give you an extra week if we get the bye. As of right now, the only teams that would even consider doing that would be, at least in the AFC, would be either the Denver Broncos or the New England Patriots, because they have the clearest path to maybe getting the one seed to get that extra week.
Yeah, I just, it feels like one of those Hail Mary ones. And a lot of this is just the Chiefs are in a weird spot where I don't think they're a bad football team. They're flawed in a lot of ways. What's frustrating is if I had told you a lot of the things we know about the Chiefs, where they rank in yards per play, that they're a top 10 offense points per game, top 10 defense points per game, Patrick Mahomes was playing at a high level, Travis Kelce looks years younger again. I mean, he doesn't look like 27-year-old Travis Kelce, but he at least looks like 32-year-old Travis Kelce.
Guys, he looks really good for what they're asking him to do and what he's capable of doing.
And so, like, I, you know, like if I had said those things, I'd been like 6-6. The hell went wrong? And there's still part of me that can't figure out what went wrong, other than the fact they're horrible on third down. They're not a very disciplined team. But they've always been a penalized team, so like that's not out of the question. But their penalties at times are backbreaking.
Correct.
It's not the number of penalties. It's when. Correct. When they
commit
them.
In the biggest spots, they
drink.
Yeah, they don't make the play, and they make their biggest mistakes.
Look, you know? I got to do some reporting. Obviously, we got to see how the season plays out. But I have a good idea as to what went wrong. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me now. Okay, really think about what I'm about to say. Stop referring to point differential. That statistic is a flat out lie, because they played a team that's not professional in the Las Vegas Raiders.
30-0.
Okay, remove those 31 points from the board because they didn't show up the moment kickoff began, right?
No, that team was bad.
Now, hey, let me tell you this. Point differential also doesn't help because you played a team that was led by Russell Wilson when he couldn't throw a pass 10 yards downfield. Okay? Point differential is a fool's gold theory when it comes to this team.
They just don't get their ass kicked by good teams is what's so annoying about it. They're not so bad.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's saving them.
So he feels like any game Alex and I talk about this, you guys have to know the same thing. Anytime there's a game where Holmes is like laying on his back, sideways, triple flipping, making insane passes, they lose it every time. Anytime it looks like, damn, Mahomes did everything today. Every little thing. That man's out here doing wizards. Loss,
right.
I don't know why, but if he has to do way too much, it never ends well.
Look, their best win, as we all know, is against the Detroit Lions. Now, the Lions had some injuries on defense, similar to the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, by the way, hey, they beat the Ravens 37-20. That is also a lie, okay? The Ravens did not have a defense that day. They had 11 guys on the field, but come on.
They did have Lamar for
90%
of the game.
But again, in terms of point differential, that's a lie.
Yeah.
That defense isn't even the same defense that was on the field against Joe Burrow, right? Because they lost Kyle Hamilton. They lost Calvin Noy. They didn't have anybody on the defensive line that day. Like, their wins look skewed because the Commanders didn't have Jaden Daniels. And by the way, their defense, also not good. So, like, you putzed around with them for an hour and a half and then woke up at halftime and said, oh, yeah, that's right, I guess we should win the game. So you beat them by 21. That is also a lie. Their point differential is bogus. It does not matter. Stop referencing it. It is not going to save you. Your record is what your record is. You're 6-6 because anytime the game is close, the only quarterback that you've been able to overcome in a close game is Daniel Jones, who, by the way, is playing on a fractured fibula and can't move and is essentially a statue. And now look, good blitzes, good comeback win, did everything you're supposed to do, but that's the only time y'all done it. So like, that point differential ain't going to save you. Like, yeah, we have a bigger point differential than so-and-so. Right. It's based on who you play, when you play them, based on the schedule. So, I mean, any team that is of worthy note, you have only beat two of them this year. That's why you're not going to make the playoffs, because you only beat the Lions and you only beat the Colts. Like, stop it with the point differential nonsense. Stop it with the advanced analytics to some degree, because we have eyeballs.
Yeah.
Right.
Something
else. Talking to Nate Taylor from ESPN. All right, the Texans. We've watched them. They're real on the defensive side of the ball. We can talk about their offense if you want at some point, but defensively, they would have been tough anyway. And then now you're telling me you might have a backup left tackle and a right tackle. How do you match up in this one if you're Kansas City?
First and points per game.
Maybe I shouldn't put this on the screen because, like, you know, I'm an ESPN employee, but hey, thanks, YouTube TV. Here, put it on. If you're
total QBR, 47th, that's the second best. Yards per game.
They got the carriage figured out.
First, third down rate, 34%, second best in the league.
Guys, I'm terrified.
Yeah, I'm like, worried for home safety.
And again, I don't know who's blocking for Patrick Mahomes. I have no idea.
What would
blocking.
Your offensive game plan be? Like, because I always wonder, like, why don't they do more play action rollout stuff, which teams do when quarterbacks now, in trouble? There's ways to mask offensive line.
Hey, D'Amico Ryans, don't listen to this. Cody just asked me what the game plan should be. Okay, if I don't know, let's be reasonable. If I don't know who's pass protecting for Patrick Mahomes, which means we got to get the ball out on time.
Let's assume worst case scenario.
In rhythm, quick game. Now, the Texans do play a nice variety of coverages. They're not like the Cowboys who just say, hey, just keep everything in front of us. We're going to force you to matriculate the ball down the field. Now, Patrick Mahomes is good enough to do that, where he did it four times and you still lost, all right? And now you were helped with one because of the interception by Jalen Watson. Guys, the Texans tackle really well. They know who your best player is. So, for instance, they played the Colts on Sunday. The Colts said, look, we got Jonathan Taylor. We're going to give him the ball a billion times. We're just sure he's going to break one. Nope, didn't break one. All right, well, I mean, Daniel Jones got options. Nah, they're smothered because Derek Stingley Jr. is awesome this year. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, two of the best pair of pass rushers in the league, no doubt. Screen game. Get your behind under center, bubble screens, and Matt Nagy, I need to see all the best behind the line of scrimmage passes you got. End arounds, reverses,
use
bubble screens. Yes. Yeah. Get the ball out of your quarterback's hand, because that's the only chance you have of winning this game. And it'd be nice if the defense did its part and gave you a chance to, like, maybe get a lead so that you could have more of your playbook open than having to drop back on 3rd and 12. Because, you know, as you said before, you can't have penalties, boys.
Yeah,
you can't have penalties today. That'd be my biggest thing for the offense. You guys got to really concentrate and focus and be on your absolute pinpoint game. Because any penalty you have, that literally engages them to either blitz you because they know Mahomes can scramble, and that's fine. But it'll take him out of rhythm. And also, like, the moment you get behind the sticks against this group, now sure, it's not Myles Garrett, but like it's pretty close. And one of them is going to have a one-on-one, whether it's Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson. We got to keep the quarterback healthy, upright. The only way to do that is to matriculate the ball, have an explosive player to lean on Kareem Hunt, lean on Isaiah Pacheco, who, by the way, looked fine on Thanksgiving. You
barely
only
played.
Gave him three running attempts.
Barely played.
So, hey, maybe mix up the running game a little bit more. You're going to have to be a more traditional, conservative, like 1990 style football. I know we talked about this on the break.
Yeah.
Bootlegs. Like, move the pocket. Like, naked bootlegs. I don't care. Like, rollouts. Cut the field in half. If it ain't there, throw it out of bounds. Live to play another
down. I mean, some would say they're going to have to.
We're going to try to tickle your tonsils.
That's what they're going to have to do on Sunday if they're going to win, Nate.
Hey, Matt Nagy, I need to see all the. Hey, motion. They should motion Rashee Rice across the field the entire game.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes that'll give you indicators of his man or zone, but motion him so that we can hike the ball and immediately throw it to him behind the line of scrimmage.
And
see if he gets 6 yards.
The other than Mahomes, the other only saving grace I can see and why you can still find a way for them to still win this game would be The Texans offense, I'm still not sold on at all. Hey, like CJ Stroud is back.
On, throw me a couple, CJ.
That's my, I think there are mistakes to take advantage
of
there.
Don't throw it anywhere near Nick Bolton's hands, though.
Like, I
the
do
only
think,
safe place on the field. Like, right.
The Texans offense, I think.
Throw us a couple, CJ, but not in the middle of the field, baby. Let the cornerbacks get a chance.
The Texans offense would be the reason. Like, if you're saying, like, well, how on earth do you think they're going to pull this one off, even all this defensive stuff? I don't think the Texans offense is all that good.
What do the Texans score per game?
I'll double check. It's not great.
And this includes the defense that's doing them a lot of favors. Favorable position. They're 21st in the NFL.
It's not great. It's not great. Now, some of that is because we know CJ's been dealing with a concussion, mm-hmm. and they don't have a great running game, so they're also a little bit one-dimensional as well.
What happened to Nico Collins? He's a good wide receiver.
Right. He just had a great game this past week.
He did have a great game, and they used him and behind the line of scrimmage as well. Yep. End of rounds. Mm-hmm. Yay. You know, get the ball out of your quarterback's hands so that, you know, you have a chance. I think if you're the Chiefs, and again, this hasn't been the great strategy all year, but like just get Pat to the fourth quarter and say, take over, baby, because we're at home. You know, Spags going to give us a couple good blitzes or two. You ain't got to worry about that. Despite what the personnel that he has, he'll still get quarterbacks. He got Dak Prescott one time, right? And again, they had effective blitzes in the second half. It's just, hey, if he finds the answers and it's a one-on-one matchup, well, they got the best receivers right now to maybe you know, sort of counterattack your own strategy. But I mean, yeah. See, I mean, Nico Collins is not.
I think there's a big difference. Like, C.J. Stroud's not Dak Prescott, and he's not CeeDee Lamb, in the sense that if the Chiefs defense can do what they did in that last game, is in get Dallas in 3rd and 8 plus 5 or 6 times, I don't think the Texans are converting all of those. Chiefs are bad on third down.
Right.
But a combination of C.J. Stroud and Nico aren't getting it done the way Dallas did.
And you got to pray and hope that Chris Jones with 10 days rest gives you better production individually than he could against Dallas.
His effort has been better.
Yeah, his effort's been fine, but it's just like, I mean, I have to understand and acknowledge that, like, okay, it's the second game. He's, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Jones is your oldest defensive player. I don't think people really remember or acknowledge that. Like, hey, he's our best defensive player. He's also your oldest. So, and he's playing a lot more snaps than like the average defensive tackle would because of the responsibility that he carries for the defense. So you need him on the field constantly to set up protection schemes so that you can blitz. But hopefully with 10 days rest and with better effort at home, much like he did against the Colts, he'll be a more effective pass rusher that can sort of impact the plays even if he doesn't get the sack. Because that was the brilliant thing he did against the Colts. He was so good against the Colts because he knew when they were running the football. So he immediately had penetration in the backfield, which allowed Jonathan Taylor to go sideways instead of forward. And there was one point where Daniel Jones was like, holy smokes, he's good. And so he was effective for the rest of the game, which is why the blitzes helped in the fourth quarter. If he can get similar pressure on, you know, C.J. Stroud, like, yeah, maybe C.J. will throw you one. Maybe he'll have a mistake or two. As we saw in the postseason game last year, Chris Jones was, I mean, an absolute force in the divisional round. And that's one of the reasons why the Chiefs won that game, even though C.J. Stroud, I thought, played well, given the fact that he didn't have that many weapons outside of Nico Collins in that postseason game.
Earlier today, we were looking back at our preseason predictions for like the AFC title game, NFC title game.
Chiefs Bills was our
Chiefs Bills, and then I had Bucks Packers on the NFC side. I ask you, what's your updated prediction, AFC NFC title game right now as we head into the first games of December?
You're asking me to pick four teams in a league that's wide open.
I know.
I think the NFC. Good luck. They're all the same quality except for the Rams are slightly better.
I would love to see Rams Seahawks. Like, give me a trio of those two teams. Like a third game.
Mm-hmm.
That game would likely be played in
LA
at this point, based on how it's all playing out. Like, I don't know if the Bears are going to hold on to the one seed. I highly doubt it. So I have more confidence right now in Rams and Seahawks more than any other teams in the league. So I would love to see what that looks like. Maybe Sam Darnold getting a chance to finally, you know, get his team to the Super Bowl, especially in the first year with a good defense in Seattle. Obviously, we know
that. All I got to say, if we get Sam Darnold versus Daniel Jones, I'm going to throw up.
Nah, you're not going to have a Daniel Jones.
Against
Matthew
Stafford having a phenomenal season in the AFC. I love Mike Vrabel. Drake Mayo has no scar tissue. It's so crazy. This actually might be good for him. They have the inside track to get the one seed. I still think.
No, I don't think it'll be the Colts. I was just joking. But could you imagine if it was Jones for with Darnold in the Super Bowl? I think the Colts, Nate, I said the Colts are going to win one more game and miss the playoffs.
I think the Bills can beat the Broncos in Denver. So I'll say Patriots, Bills. I would love two divisional
Patriots,
games.
Bills. Yeah.
Patriots, Bills.
Okay.
Seahawks, Rams.
I mean, I could see it. It is a strange 2025 NFL season. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, he joins us each and every Tuesday. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. We're back at it tomorrow right here on Cody and Gold.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.